Nick Courage was born in New Orleans and now lives in Pittsburgh, where he writes young adult novels, skateboards and bikes, and bakes. Bakes really fancy things, too. His books so far are The Loudness, Stormblown, a hurricane story that feels all too real, and now Snowstruck, about a winter storm and how it affects a group of people and animals in New York City over the Christmas holiday. It is just the chilly thing young readers need for hot summer months. Nick Courage, welcome back to The Reading Life.
Thank you so much for having me, Susan.
Wow, I mean, what an action-packed book this is.
Well, you know, when you're writing for young readers, you really have to think about reluctant readers, so you have to kind of get things moving fast and keep it chugging along.
Well, it feels like a skateboard ride to me. I mean, so tell us what's happening. Elizabeth and her younger brother, Maddie, have left their home in Georgia, where their parents are rebuilding their home after a storm, to visit their New York City cousins over the holidays. And when they arrive in the Big Apple, things are just not what they thought they'd be. So what goes on from there?
Right. So Snowstruck is the story of a massive winter storm hitting the eastern seaboard and some of the unsuspecting kids and animals that are caught in its path. And my two main protagonists, Maddie and Elizabeth, go visit their cousin Ashley in New York City, and it's unseasonably warm. And the sort of trick of the story is that unseasonable warmth leads to massive, massive cold, which is sort of counterintuitive. Why would a super hot winter turn into record cold? And essentially the trick of the story is that heat wave weakens the polar vortex and sends a bunch of cold air south from the Arctic. And then from there, it's just the story of the blizzard of the century.
Well, Arctic weather is just so interesting anyway, especially to those of us who live in the South.
Yeah.
So you're carving this wonderful kind of niche for yourself in eco-fiction.
Yeah.
Talk about the research for the scientific facts behind this book.
Oh, so much research. It's funny, when you write children's literature, a lot of people think you just kind of sit down and take you wherever your whimsy leads you. Right. So for these kinds of books, when you're doing science writing, I go to the library and I take out, without exaggeration, 40, 60 books. I'll go to the section that has one book on ice for this book specifically, and then take out the entire shelf of winter books and start reading about Shackleton explorations, about formation of ice, all the interesting things that can happen to weather. And then the first draft of a book like this is just incredibly science-y, too much science almost to be readable for the age range that I'm writing for. And that's sort of me trying to learn the science and synthesize it into a story. And then the second draft is me sort of saying, okay, I need some plot to go with all this interesting science stuff.
Well, one of the interesting qualities of your writing is that you have so many points of view. That's become one of your signatures. And one point of view that's especially interesting is that of Joy, who is a scientist on a mission.
Yeah, so when I write about extreme weather events, I really want to feel like it's not one person who's experiencing the weather event or the story, or one person who's affected by it. I feel like we sort of naturally center our experiences of weather events, extreme weather events, on ourselves, my city, my street, what happened over here, and then sort of after the storm, we forget about the other places that it has impacted or the other people or animals that have been impacted by it. So I want to create as much empathy around extreme weather events as possible. And so that means writing lots of kids, some adults, some animals. For Joy, Joy is the one character who was also in my last book, Stormblown.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm writing about extreme weather events, when I was thinking about who do I call in this chapter to help the kids who are reading learn more about what's happening with these extreme weather events, who's the voice of authority, I just love Joy so much that I thought she has to be in this book too.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Now, another point of view belongs to a very small dog in that very big storm. And that's another thing you've done so well for yourself is create these animal characters who tug at our hearts.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was doing school visits for Stormblown, I learned that kids really, really, really like the animal point of views. And I think they like them also because I try really hard not to anthropomorphize the animals.
So right.
In Stormblown, I have a turtle, and I don't want to give any spoilers away, but what would a turtle actually feel if it was being evacuated in a helicopter? And writing those scenes is really fun. In this book, I have an Arctic fox, I have deer, I have this Pomeranian named Fang. And kids really want to know what happens to the animals. It's almost like a Holden Caulfield thing, you know, what happens to the ducks in the winter when the lake freezes over? I remember one school visit in Denham Springs, I was talking about Stormblown, and one kid raised their hands and said, well, we know about the turtle, but what happens to worms? And that got me thinking, you know, like, oh, I got to, like, really explore what happens to all these different animals during an extreme weather event like a blizzard, and that's a lot of research as well.
Now, one of the other great things about your book, well, all your books, is that they show how tough young people can be. And the lesson, without being preachy, is never give up.
Yeah, yeah. So for Stormblown and Snowstruck, I like to write about ordinary kids in extraordinary circumstances. So my protagonists aren't kids who have some special power or like jumping from building to building. They're really just regular kids. And I want the books to feel like something that could believably happen to a regular kid, in part because kids need a safe place to sort of explore the things they're worried about. And kids are really worried about extreme weather events. When I do school visits across the country, now Zoom visits across the country, I always ask, who here has experienced an extreme weather event? And whether it's hurricanes or wildfires or blizzards or tornadoes or flooding, almost every class, every kid puts their hand up. So
wow.
I want to create a book where they can explore those extreme weather events, but it's also sort of a fun place to do it. I feel like a lot of the discourse about weather can feel so fraught and politicized and also really dense. So I think it's just really important for young readers to have a safe place to really picture themselves as a protagonist in these scary events.
Now, you're a wonderful writer about adventure, you know, and you have wonderful pacing in your book. And I wonder, what would you call your biggest adventure? You dedicate to this book to your wife with a pretty provocative description.
Yeah, so, this was before I met her, but she did snowboard off an Alp on a hang glider, which even as she explains it to me, you know, well, I was attached to somebody who did it with me. It just seemed so wild to snowboard. So, yeah, all my books so far have been dedicated to my wife, Rachel, and she is just so cool. And I just needed to put it out in the world that she did snowboard off an Alp on a hang glider. My biggest adventure? That's a good question. I have to think about that. I feel like one of my biggest adventures is just sort of becoming a writer and learning how to write books that are interesting for kids and incorporating sort of my own experiences, synthesizing them into novels that hopefully make kids sort of more curious about the world and feel better about themselves.
We've been talking with Nick Courage, whose new novel is Snowstruck, a thriller about climate change for young writers that readers of any age can enjoy. Be sure to check out his website, nickcourage.com. Nick, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Here's what's on tap in the literary life this week. Novelist Diane C. McPhail appears in conversation with Sue Strachan to discuss The Seamstress of New Orleans, Tuesday, May 31st at 5:30 at the Spire Center, 1772 Britannia Street. Clay McLeod reads from and signs his horror novel, Whisper Down the Lane, Friday, June 3rd at 5 at Garden District Bookshop. Blue Cypress hosts a launch event for the New Orleans Art Rag, a new arts journal that focuses on Louisiana creators, Friday, June 3rd from 6 to 7:30. That great annual event, the Symphony Book Fair, is coming up Friday, June 3rd through Sunday, June 5th at the University of New Orleans Lakefront Arena. Enter the sale under Ramp 1, which faces Franklin Avenue. Hours are Friday from 9 to 8, with admission from 9 to 3 only. Free admission after 3, and then Saturday 9 to 8 and Sunday 9 to 4 with free admission both days. Books include fiction and nonfiction in 50 categories, sheet music and recordings, LPs, CDs, DVDs, and audiobooks. And in art, there will be both posters and original works, as well as a special children's sale Sunday from 11 to 2. Proceeds support the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra. The 7th Annual Walker Percy Weekend takes place June 3rd through 5th in St. Francisville. complete with beer, bourbon, barbecue, and lots of great conversation. Check out walkerpercyweekend.org for tickets. New additions to the schedule include a screening of Jason Barry's film, City of a Million Dreams. Speakers this year include Chris Baglow of Notre Dame University, Jody Blanco, co-author of I, John Kennedy Toole, a novel that traces the origins of a Confederacy of dunces, John Shelton Reed, author of 22 books, most recently on barbecue, and Reed Mercer Shushart, who will discuss the many movies of the moviegoer. And coming up at the June Writers' Seminar, Sex and Voodoo at the Library. Two New Orleans authors present sessions to help local writers be better at their craft, Saturday, June 11th from 9:30 to 12:30 at the North Kenner Library, 630 Esplanade in Kenner. Each is free of charge and open to the public. No registration. Mystery writer Greg Herron discusses how to write a sex scene and when not to at 9:30 a.m., followed by Kalila Smith discussing what every writer should know about voodoo and the occult at 11 a.m. Founding support for The Reading Life comes from Octavia Books. Additional support comes from the Hellas Foundation and the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, the state affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in The Reading Life do not necessarily represent those of the National Endowment for the Humanities. The theme song for The Reading Life is by Matt Perrine and Sunflower City. The Reading Life is produced by George Ingmeyer and is a production of WWNO. You can listen to us anytime or subscribe to our podcast at WWNO.org. And you can email us at thereadinglife@wwno.org.